Welcome to the Social Standard Podcast. I'm Jessica Phillips, and I'm the founder and CEO of The Social Standard, a full-service influencer marketing agency. As a leader, I'm always striving to set new standards in our industry. My goal with this podcast is to highlight those who are doing the same. On each episode, our guests will take us through their own journey, what motivated and inspired them to try something new, and how they ultimately set the standard in their field. On top of that, they will provide actionable insights and ideas on how you can set the standard in your own way. So grab a cup of coffee and let's get to it. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Social Standard Podcast. I am excited about my guest today. We have Allison Ellsworth. She is the co-founder and chief brand officer of Poppy, which is kind of like the most amazing healthy replacement for a soda.
It's the best.
So yes. Welcome, Allison. So awesome to have you. First of all, okay, you guys are based in Dallas. Are you in Dallas right now?
I am, unfortunately. Okay. Yeah. 100 degree weather, Dallas, Texas. Hello.
Yeah, that's tough. But you know, I mean, come wintertime, it's pretty great, right?
It's amazing. Patios in December.
Yeah, that's a life. That's a life in LA that we like to lead too. So I get it. I am excited for our conversation today. I'm a huge kind of health and wellness junkie. So anytime I can talk to anyone who's doing something really exciting in the space, gets me really excited. So I have probably a million questions for you. And I really want to talk about your story because I think it's super interesting. But before we dive into it, just tell our audience a little bit about, you know, who Poppy is and like what a prebiotic is.
Sure. So Poppy is a prebiotic soda. And to your point, not a lot of people know what a prebiotic is. A lot of people hear probiotic. And so right. A lot of times we don't correct them because it has that healthy halo and it just sounds healthy, which prebiotics are. So the easiest way to think about it is the prebiotics are the fertilizer for your current gut flora. So like what fertilizer is to a garden, it just is the food for the probiotics or the current gut flora that you have. It's actually a fibrous type of food or material. There's a lot of different other things that are prebiotics. And what is in ours is apple cider vinegar, the pectin from the apples, and then some of our flavors, we have some agave inulin in it as well. So it's just really good fibrous for your digestion and a healthy gut.
Very cool. That's awesome. Yeah. So how many poppies can we drink a day?
So what's crazy is sometimes I'll be formulating or on the line and I drink like 10 a day. It's not going to like hurt you or anything. You're just sure. Probably going to end up peeing a lot. But yep. It's one of those things that it's just your body. Listen to your body.
Sure.
1-2 days, it's not going to hurt you. It's not one of those things that you can like have too much of.
Overdo it. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. No. Well, I mean, if it makes your hair and skin look great, I'm all in.
All in. Yes.
Right? That's awesome. So give us your story. I mean, I know you have had a very interesting journey. I think the story is really sort of amazing how it unfolds, but help us understand where you started and then that'll take us to where you are today.
Yeah. So previous to this, I worked in oil and gas research and I traveled.
What a transition, by the way.
I know. It has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm doing now, owning a beverage company. But right. I traveled. I was on the road a lot in small towns, didn't have access to good food and or even really gyms or anything like that. So I would say that it kind of starts to wear on your body if you're not taking care of yourself.
Totally.
And so I started having a ton of different health issues, from my skin was breaking out to I was gaining weight and I couldn't lose, even though, you know, I felt like I was eating healthy. I just didn't know, honestly, at the time. I didn't have the full education of what food can do for your body.
Sure.
And so my stomach hurt all the time. I was bloated. Mm-hmm. And then I kept going to different doctors and nobody could really figure out what was going on. They kept giving me medications. Mm. And so I started to go down the holistic route and started Googling and, you know, what they tell you not to do. But
of course,
for me, I still did it. And so I kind of found my, you know, a few articles that said that my body was like overran with candida overgrowth. And it is just, it can wreak havoc on your body and
totally.
In particular your gut. And so I started going through like this cleanse. I was like, okay, something's not right. I just kind of have to reset and detox my body. And one of those main elements that I knew that would do that was apple cider vinegar. And so at this point, I was so desperate. I think I'd been battling trying to figure out something for like 6 years or something crazy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was like a path.
Yeah,
it was,
that makes sense, because I'm thinking, who just starts to drink apple cider? It's not like it tastes delicious.
No.
You know, you really got to be at a point.
Yeah, it was like rock bottom, I guess you could say. And I just started drinking it. And I'm not going to lie, like, I had tried everything from no dairy to cutting out everything vegan. Like, I tried everything. And I like cheese. I like eating like good stuff and sugar, you know, like it's not a way to live. And so when I finally found apple cider vinegar and I started drinking it every day, I was shocked and so excited at the same time that I found something. My stomach stopped hurting. It gave me energy. So I was able to like work out more and just kind of take control of everything. But kind of what you said, the taste was really bad.
Yeah, it's very bitter, right? It's not something that usually if you drink it, your body's like, no, this is not where we need to be.
Or you're just like, I got to get this down. And you just like mix it with a bunch of different things or take a shot, which is really hard on your esophagus.
100%.
And so I was like, okay, I got to make this taste better. And at that time through this path, I'd really thrown myself into cooking.
Okay.
And it was one of those things that I just really loved spending all my extra time in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just find a way to make it taste good, but I wanted to keep it healthy at the same time. So I don't want to just add orange juice and make it 150 calories and 20 grams of sugar. And so I kind of came out with the first version of Poppy in my kitchen in mason jars. And I found it through a process of like infusing the vinegars versus adding in a bunch of different elements. And so started drinking it. And then I had neighbors that were like, what is this? Like, you look so good. And I was like, oh, try my hooch. Like, I was like literally still had my day job. It wasn't anything that I was like looking to go really into. And then all of a sudden my neighbors were like, wow, this is amazing. Like, can I get an order next week? Can I get an order next week? And then I got pregnant with my first.
Amazing.
And I was like, I got to slow down. I'm just like tired. I want to kind of like settle down. So me and my husband, we moved to Dallas. We got a house. And within like literally 3 weeks of being there, I was like, okay, I'm bored. I'm going to take this to the farmer's market on the weekends. I'm just like not a person that can sit still.
I feel you.
And I took it to the farmer's market and I started selling it. So I'm like 3 months pregnant. My husband still has like his full-time job. I'm like lugging in these mason jars. It's summer in Texas. And we kept selling out. And like we'd sell out and make double. We'd sell out the week after. We'd make triple. We would sell out. And so I was like, okay, I'm onto something here. To the third week. And the Whole Foods buyer came by our booth with her mom, because Whole Foods is out of Austin.
Yeah.
So a lot of people just like are around here. And she's like, listen, like, I am not, like, here at work, but the line is insane. Everyone keeps talking about it. Like, here's my card. You guys have to be in Whole Foods.
Oh, my. Were you just like, did you just, like, pee yourself? I mean, that's so exciting.
It was so basically, I remember, like, at that point, like, my husband was having to help me on the weekends. I looked at him, I was like, and she just, like, gave me her card and, like, walked off. Like, no big deal. I was like, she wants us to be in Whole Foods. Like, this is insane. And he's like, no, that's crazy. I'm like, is it? Like, is it that crazy? And so we kind of sat down that week and I was like, this just something in me feels like this has to happen. And I like decided I didn't want to go back to oil and gas. So we'd bought a house. I was pregnant and I like quit my job and started a company all within like 3 months.
The anti move of like everyone that ever gets pregnant, right? It's like that's usually a time that you sort of just like chill and you're like, no, light it all on fire, starting over.
Yeah. And I'm like so opposite of him in the way that I'm like, screw it, let's do it. Like, go for it. Like, reach for the stars. Like, we'll figure it out as we go. And he's like, hold on, let me get my spreadsheets. And he has like, he's whiteboarding, like pros and cons. So like, honestly,
you guys are a great pair. That's a team right there. You've got a CEO and a CFO right there.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Yeah, exactly. He's CEO, and that's why the fun stuff I get to be on the marketing and the brand side. So
totally,
it fits. And he's like, okay, go for it. And he quit his job. Okay. And we went all in and we opened our own production facility and we kept growing. We got into Whole Foods and we were growing in Dallas, and then we realized we needed funding. Mm-hmm. And so that's when we went and we tried out for Shark Tank and
amazing.
Went on the show and got a deal.
Did I read that someone had just happened to tell you that they were going to be in town, Shark Tank, and you were like, let's just do it?
Yeah, it was actually, I saw it on Mark Cuban's Instagram.
Okay, that's right.
And it was like, hey, I'll be there in two days or this weekend. So it wasn't even something we were really planning out and had this like big pitch planned. And I was like, let's go. And by this time I'd had my first. So from the time that we got from the Whole Foods and on the shelf, you know, I was already had my baby. So I had a newborn and I was like, we just got to do it. And we went to an open casting call, which I after the fact heard was really rare to like actually get on the show from that. Okay. What a lot of people don't know is the show reaches out to a lot of companies. And so it's really rare. So from going to open casting call to getting on the show and getting a deal is like 0.002% of people that try out. It's like crazy.
I mean,
yeah. So, you know, things just kind of happen for a reason and everything kind of lined up.
Well, good for you for like zoning in. No, that's totally your intuition, right? You're like, hey, I feel like there's something here. Let's do it. And here we are. Well, here it's you are insane. In your Poppy office, and here I am virtually in your Poppy office.
Yay, welcome.
Thanks. Oh, wow. I mean, what a story. And then you had another baby.
Yeah, so by the time people don't realize, it takes like months and months to get on the show. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to go through stages and you have to do tryouts. So I got pregnant with my second, and yes, all of this was on purpose. Like we knew our lives were crazy, but we wanted to have a family too. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, like, it took so long that I was 9 months pregnant on Shark Tank, getting a deal and had the baby 10 days later. They were like, are you sure you can fly? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to Shark Tank. Like,
wait, where were you recording?
It was in LA. So I did.
Oh my gosh.
I was healthy. The baby's healthy. Everything's fine. But my sister lives out there. So I was if I have the baby out here, like I had a place to stay. And I'm one of those moms that like through all of my health problems and the holistic approach, like I have my babies all natural anyways. So I don't lean on like the medical system. I think like a lot of people. So for me, it was like, oh, it's fine. Like I had a healthy baby boy. And, you know, it wasn't stressful for me. I think that would stress a lot of people out, though.
I just honestly, being pregnant and flying that late in the game, I just feel like it makes your body hurt.
I don't know, like.
But I guess this was your first though?
It was my second.
Oh, it was your second. See, I don't know.
So I'd already been down that road, and I was like, I knew what to expect, and so
that makes sense.
I mean, it was a lifetime, or like a life-changing experience to get to go on the show, and I knew it was for my family and for our future. And so I just, honestly, is what it did is it made me stay really calm throughout the whole process. Mm. Like, Steven was like, if you watch the show, like, he's sweating bullets, and I'm just, like, on there, like, presenting myself, like, walking down. Like, I just told myself, I can't go in labor. Like, it was a good thing. It was a good thing. So then we ended up getting a deal with Rohan Oza, who is literally the beverage king, like Shark, perfect match. They call him the brand father. He's been behind certain brands like Bai and Vitamin Water. And
Health Aid Kombucha too, right?
Yeah, he does Health Aid and Kite Hill.
Kite Hill's a great one.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Hippies to Waterloo. Like, you can't, like, literally better for you brands, like he's the best in. So
amazing. I mean, that's so cool. And I mean, the fact that you guys were already in Whole Foods kind of blows my mind, because that is very, I don't think, and maybe our listeners were a little more educated in the space than I was before I started all these conversations, but it's very challenging to figure out how to get into all of these, like all these stores.
Well, and I don't think what happened to us, I've never heard happening to anyone else. Right. You're just like at a farmer's market and just get in that way. It's actually really hard. What people don't know is they have category reviews once a year. You have time to present. If you miss that, you have to wait a full year. They don't just cut you in, even if you're amazing, you know, if your product's amazing or whatever. So it's a like once a year kind of chance, and if you miss it. And so I think we got really lucky, but like I said earlier, things happen for a reason, and it was meant to happen.
Totally. I mean, that's so wild. It's so cool. Wow. Yeah. I mean, it feels to me even, it's like I'm almost getting chills. It's like, it feels like everything that you have done, it's almost like you've just been following this path that's been laid out for you. So
I know. And it sounds easy, but there was a lot of like, you know, we quit our jobs, we had babies. My husband ended up getting a second job. His car broke down, no air conditioning, like working in hot warehouses, like being on welfare. Like everyone's like, oh, these roads to where you are now, like it just seems so easy. You're like, no, we like worked our butts off for years and years and years to get here, and now it looks easy, but we're still almost working harder now. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like as you grow, but I love it. Like I thrive and I wouldn't change a thing.
Oh, totally. And I think
it's so fun.
You make a really, really good point where it's no matter how easy, shiny, pretty it looks on the outside, it's never, even if you get lucky and a few things work for you, it's still impossibly hard. I mean, the survival rate of a new business is very low, right?
It's very low. And then just like on top of it, like after we got our deal, we made some strategic decisions to our previous brand was called Mother Beverage. We named it after like the mother of vinegar. I was a mother myself. Mm-hmm. But we learned really quick you couldn't trademark the word mother.
Oh, and so makes sense. Yeah.
We were like, okay, well, we'll change it. And so we took, after getting a deal, we took about 8 months and we took a step back and we decided to rebrand into Poppy. And what that gave us the opportunity to do is we did focus groups. We did a package change. We went from glass bottles to aluminum bottles to try to be more sustainable. And then we really looked at the category and the market and where it was and where the gaps were. Mm-hmm. And this, before we knew that healthy soda would be the fastest growing category in the nation now, we had decided like, oh, we want to go after big soda, right? Like we really see the way that Poppy tastes. You get all the taste of a soda or sparkling water without all the calories, plus it has function. There was really nothing out there like it. And so, you know, you have your kombuchas, which were very different. People kind of put us in that realm sometimes, but we don't have the probiotics, we have the prebiotics.
Right.
And we don't have that, like, it sounds crazy because we're opposite vinegar, but the taste isn't as vinegary or as fermented, if at all.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So it's we definitely drink more like a full flavored like sparkling water or like a Fanta or like something like that, if that makes sense. So.
And I mean that's a very, especially in the summer, I think craving that like fizzy, like refreshing sort of taste is, I mean, you gotta have something. I think that's why sparkling water took off. But even now it's like we drink sparkling water at home. I'm always squeezing like lemons or doing something to add. Because you need flavor. a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, and so you get that full flavor. It was, like, missing, plus you get function.
Yes.
It was, like, this whole new world, and it wasn't something I ever thought that or meant to create, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So kind of just, once again, fell into place. But
how cool.
We decided, I mean, like, even down to our package, we're like, okay, do we do white labels, do we do colored labels to the name? Poppy was kind of like a hard one because we had literally gone on Shark Tank and had a national commercial with the word mother on it. And here we are like rebranding everything and changing it all. Thank goodness Shark Tank signed on to do an update with everything. So it made everything a little bit easier.
Okay. Yeah.
With it all. So we were able to get the new brand and the new name out there pretty quick. But I mean, Poppy, we landed on that because it was kind of, you get that nostalgic feeling of soda pop. Like that old school soda pop, plus it's poppy, it's vibrant, it's fun, it's happy, and it just like really fits our brand. So we came out really strong out the gate, and then we launched Poppy in March of 2020, right in the middle of the pandemic.
Right. Perfect
timing.
Oh my God.
At the time we didn't, I don't think anyone knew though
of course
what was
not.
Happening.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Oh my gosh, but you guys then transitioned to Amazon, correct? Like you were able to get, because now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can buy on your site and you can buy on Amazon and then in retailers as well, right?
So we decided to go all in Amazon. Okay. And the way our website is set up is you can go onto our website and if you add to cart, you check out on Amazon.
On Amazon, okay.
Yeah, and the reason we decided to go all in Amazon is one thing that's really great is with working with Rohan, you get so much knowledge of what he's done with previous brands mm-hmm. and what works, and you're just not trying to figure it out. You're like, okay, let's look at this data and make this decision.
Right.
And so we decided to go in all Amazon. I don't think we thought it was going to be such a successful business so quick, but with launching March 2020, when everything kind of shifted to Instacart and Amazon, right. it was kind of the something that just kind of like lined up, and we ended up leaning in probably way earlier than we would have, right? And another interesting thing that happened with Amazon is we launched in March, and our sales, you know, they were good, but and great where we thought we'd be our first month. But then the episode that we filmed previously in December for our update, it aired on a Friday night, I think like the second weekend of April. And how often is everybody in America home on a Friday night?
Right.
But mid-lockdown. So website crashed. We broke the algorithm on Amazon. We were like,
oh my gosh,
six of our items are on the top 10 hottest new list. We like put ourselves like 2 years ahead in the way that Amazon sees products because we sold so much and then like our web traffic, and it kind of like tricked Amazon. And now we're like, if you put soda in on Amazon, like we're up there with Pepsi and Coke and A&W, and it's like all of these things that kind of like happened. And so we saw we had a really amazing business online, especially with like e-com, mm-hmm. Like that's where everyone was like focusing is online. But in retail, it was a little bit harder at first because it was like the grocery stores were like, we need to put toilet paper on the shelf.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, once that kind of, you know, kicked in like 3 months later, and then now we have a really successful business in retail and online. It's been like a really great start, and we've been going about a year and a half now. And like I said, our category is the fastest growing category in beverage, and we're number one in that category. So we're the fastest growing beverage in the nation.
Damn, girl.
It's crazy.
Those are some stats.
It is. You know, I never knew starting in my little old kitchen for health right? reasons for myself that, you know, we'd be growing so quick, so fast. And it's still, you know, you still got to like pinch yourself sometime. And
I then mean, for sure.
But it's once again, so fun.
I can't believe the Amazon stuff. Honestly, that's like, I mean, that's a tough nut to crack, even with, you know, the investor that you have.
Amazon's tough. Awesome. It's you have to, a lot of people don't realize it's like you have to have a dedicated team.
Yeah.
It's a whole separate business. You need your own like marketing. You need your own people to run it. A lot of times you want to work with like a brokerage company because they have access to more data than you. It's not something that like I would run by myself.
Sure.
Unless you can really focus and lean in like that. Like I wouldn't quite recommend it, right? I mean, obviously like D2C, you own your customers' data, right? We don't know really who's purchasing Poppy. I think Amazon's making some changes to make it a little bit easier to like retarget them via
They've gotten smart on marketing in the last year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then as far as I think they're chatting about potentially letting us have access just like via email to like be able to email people like on Prime Day and stuff like that of previously purchased us. But it's a little bit hard with that, but we've seen so many positive things happen to lean in all 100% Amazon that like we wouldn't change it.
Oh yeah. Totally. Well, I mean, there are now like, I won't call them VC firms, but there are these like roll-up companies that go out and all they do is find businesses on Amazon that are like individuals who are doing over $1 million in revenue on Amazon, but don't really have the capacity or maybe the desire to grow it. And they're buying them up and kind of, you know, exploding the growth. So you're totally right. I mean, Amazon is this channel that is like a total beast, very hard to understand from the outside. But so powerful that you almost you have to figure it out.
Well, and they're doing their own like following strategy now, and they have like a feed of like Instagram and stories. And of course there's always been like Amazon influencers, but they're really wanting us to like lean in with Amazon Lives and influencers. And it's this whole other world where we play in the influencer marketing space on TikTok and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And now we're looking, okay, now we have to have a whole other separate strategy, and we're starting to look into Amazon. We haven't done a ton there yet, but definitely something that we want to do and continue to do and grow as our team grows.
That's so interesting. Do you know, is it when you do an Amazon Live with an influencer, do they have to be an Amazon approved influencer, or could you use someone that you've worked with on Instagram?
So there's a lot of people just like have their own pages and they can go live. And
because a lot of them are approved, don't have to. Right?
Yeah, you don't have to. And I think they're opening up. Like, if I want to go live on, like, say, Poppy's, I could do that. But I think you have to maybe, I could be wrong. You might have to, like, have a brand page for a brand. I know it's a brand page, but I think maybe. But I
for don't a know. Brand, I think, that would make sense. But for influencers, it's like.
I don't know.
Yeah, Amazon is just tough, right? It's tough. It's a new world,
with this Amazon thing. So I need to do some more research.
I don't know if it's because they own everything and they just want to own everything, or that they're just trying to catch up, right?
Right.
With the
they
world,
don't
because
get left behind with everything.
Yeah, but it's like, are you trying to control too much, or are you just not there yet? Right. That's always sort of my question with Amazon, because when you look at social, it's like. Well, we have this, we say this all the time at the social standard, but it's like social media is no longer social. There's nothing social with what we're doing here. You're now, you're digital, you're video, you're e-commerce, your connection, your discovery, you're everything on social media. And Amazon is almost like this fifth pillar of that process, of that building, right? But like, you, no one really knows how to do it yet.
No, it's true, but I mean, it just plays such a big part. I think it's like 85% of households have Amazon Prime.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I think that number is rising, as you know, especially during the pandemic. But you know, you'll see people that, even if you're in a Whole Foods or you're in a Target or something, you're like, should I buy this? Let me look at the reviews on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And so you see it used so many different ways digitally to like influence other purchase. And so I think brands and or, you know, items that aren't leaned in and on Amazon are a little crazy. Even if you do both, you should still have a presence on Amazon. It really is the way of the future.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, absolutely.
If not now.
Yeah. I sort of wonder, I don't know how much you keep up on this, but the creator economy and influencers launching so many businesses on these platforms. And to me, it's like, when is the wave of creator economy happening on Amazon?
Yeah, right? No, that's so gotta be coming. I think it's now. Yeah, and so we're seeing, we lean heavily into influencer marketing. Mm-hmm. It's probably the first thing that we did right out the gate, and something that we know works and that we believe in. And so we really see ourselves as like a digital first company, because one, we were forced right out the gate to really lean in digitally, but then we knew influencer marketing would work. And something else that kind of came out of, you know, launching our first year during the pandemic is all these influencers were desperate for content. So you would send them product and we would have crazy post rates on packages. And so it also gave us the opportunity to build those relationships, because people would post, they would try it, and then they'd authentically love Poppy. And then that would give us an opportunity to work with people that really loved us versus reaching out to an agent, trying to get a deal. And then it's kind of like a, you know, transactional. And so that's something that's really important to me, because I didn't really live the world of influencer marketing until I, you know, started Poppy and we started leaning in, and it's its whole world. And something that's been really exciting is leaning in and learning about TikTok, because we've literally had we had a moment in January of this year where, me personally as founder, I'm obsessed with TikTok, and I just saw it more as a business tool. I hate to say, like, I love to scroll and do all that, but I was obsessed with like, this, there has to be a way for us to get on here. And it was really hard as brands to be successful on TikTok. And so I'd lay awake at night and I'd be like, do I do these like stupid dances? Like, I know. What do I do here? Like, dance with the Poppy? Like, let's go. Like, I'm like, this doesn't make sense as a brand. Right. Like, it wasn't working. And so we're trying these trends and we're doing all these things. And I was like, okay, we'd get 100 views. Like, it wasn't anything, but I was like, just keep on. I kept trying. Mm-hmm. And so then one day I think I like came into work. I had no makeup on. My hair was wet. Perfect. And I just sat down and I told the story kind of similar to what I told you at the beginning, where it was just like, hey, my name's Allison. I was on Shark Tank. I got a deal. It started with my health issues. And I just went into it and I posted it at 10 o'clock and I went to bed, and I woke up and it was like almost close to 1 million views overnight. Our sales on Amazon, I to date am the highest converter that our company's ever seen. We had three of our largest days on Amazon from my viral. And now that video's up over 15 million views, has over 400,000 comments, and then it just grew. Now as a brand, I think we have over 100,000 followers, multiple videos at 1 million, and it's just being authentic, telling our story, talking about the product, the health benefits. And that's where was a key lesson we learned on TikTok, was like
authenticity.
Yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
Especially with Gen Z. I mean, they can see through everything. They're, you know, they're digital, they're iPad babies, right? So they get it. They can see through it. It's just no one's.
Yeah. And we're one. Like, I love the creators on there, right?
Yeah.
We are starting to work with creators that do stuff on Instagram, and maybe TikTok is secondary. And so we're working deals that you can do on both, right?
Sure.
And we're seeing success with the whitelisting and running ads between their content on TikTok versus Instagram. We'll always do Instagram. It's your bread and butter. Yeah. Nothing we're going to walk away from, but it's just like another pillar to our success. And we're seeing more success on our paid on TikTok than we are anywhere else right now.
Really?
Like our just, you know, per 1,000 users, like what we're getting out of it is insane compared to everywhere else. And it's just the reach.
How are you guys measuring success on TikTok when you say you're seeing a lot of paid success?
Yeah, so it's a little bit hard, but we usually do it by, you know, how many people are we getting in front of, say, like per 1,000 in the cost it takes. And I think it's close in like double digits for Instagram. Amazing. And you're like so low on TikTok, like a few dollars, right?
Oh,
and
yeah,
so
for sure,
like the comparison is crazy, but it's a different consumer, and that's why I say you're not going to stop, because on Instagram you're getting something so different than you are on TikTok that you would on Pinterest. We play on all platforms. Like Pinterest, it's like this sleeper cell we always talk about. It converts really well too. And it's just different content. It's more recipe focused. It's more like how-tos.
Yes.
You know, those things. And so I think as a brand, people get a little caught up in saying like, oh, we just have to do this one thing and it's Instagram or Facebook. But we really are digitally forward and testing in different areas and leaning in when something works and pivoting if it's not. But you have to. I mean, marketing is, at the end of the day, a guess game. So
1,000%. It's always test and learn. That's what we say. That's what we always tell our clients. It's like, let's just figure it out. We don't know what, you never know what the right answer is out of the gate, but you know that you can figure it out if you just have the right protocols. And I'm really excited to hear that you guys say Pinterest works for you, because so my company before this, I was CEO at Hello Society, which was a full service Pinterest influencer agency.
Oh wow.
And it ended up getting bought by the New York Times. And then I started this. And it was a whole big, like, fun journey in the world. But we used to crash websites with influencers from Pinterest, you know, to wherever. I think Aha Life at the time was, like, a big thing. And they had this popsicle mold. And it was just, every time we posted it, it was just berserk, right? But Pinterest sort of fell off the face of the earth in a lot of ways. Right. I think they didn't reinvent themselves. And they weren't a social network in the era of social networks. But now that everything has come back to e-commerce, I think that this is a moment for Pinterest to really shine and to really figure this out. So I'm excited. I was interested in their story pins. It's either story pins or idea pins. I can't remember which was the order. But those seem to make a lot of sense. And I was really excited to see that they were actually getting back in the game a little bit. And it makes me even more excited to hear that you guys are having success with it, because you just don't know. So.
Well, we're just putting like minimal effort this year, because it wasn't in the budget. It wasn't in the plan, but it was something that we saw was working. And so we're like, okay, maybe we cut from here just to like test. Mm-hmm. And it's been successful that we are going to lean in 2022. We're building out, you know, at the end of the year, we have some plans that we're going to do. But it's crazy, like the little amount that we're leaning in, and we've been focusing on it for like 4 months or so. And we've gone through, I think we're up to 600,000 monthly views on our page.
Nice.
For like nothing. Like, I'm telling you, we're not spending anything at this point. And so I'm like, wow, what if we really leaned in? Like, that reach is real. And then working with the bloggers, and it is different content, we know. You
it
can't
is.
Just post a pretty picture. But working that into our strategy, these people that are posting on Instagram and TikTok, do you write a blog? Is that blog successful? Should we post it to our page? Will it help with SEO reasons? You know, we're really looking at it like 360 and what's working across all platforms.
Super smart. Yeah, no, that's great. I think influencers would be a great next step for you guys on Pinterest. And the thing is I think that Pinterest is so, desperate's probably not the right word, but I think they're trying so hard to do so many things that even if you guys are able to lean into it, you know, if a little bit more, if you just double down your efforts now, I feel like you're going to see a lot more results now than you will in 2020. Simply because most people probably have that strategy.
Right.
Right? Of like, this is kind of working. We'll figure it out next year. But
that's kind of what I've been telling my girls like this last week. Literally, we had like a meeting on it. I was like, what can we do now? Like, what is it? It's just, it really is minimal effort. And you see such a big return. So that's a sleeper. We call it our sleeper cell. Seriously. Like, I had no idea.
Honestly, it's a great way to describe it. I might steal that from you.
No, but you can have it. Totally.
Okay, so we have to talk about J-Lo turned 52. We all saw the video. We know that she is incredible.
Everything.
Everything, exactly. You guys partnered with her. How?
We did. I know. It's kind of a whirlwind. So honestly, we've just been really lucky, kind of like I was saying earlier, how we seed a lot. We do a mm-hmm. lot with influencer seeding and just sending product. It's like we don't have a budget for samples. Like you
that's
just
what I was gonna say. Just to be clear, you're sending and you're hoping for unboxing. That's correct. Kind of the yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of times you'll have a strategy where you're like, okay, you'll work with a particular person, they have addresses, and you'll send to it, but then it's like their relationship, and yeah, you get a lot more posts, but what we really believe in is like building our own relationships, and so sure. you end up reaching out on your own, and I have a team dedicated, so we just like to seed, like get as yep. much product to these people as possible. I don't even care if they post half the time, as long as they love it, it's at their house, their friends are seeing it, it's like Poppy's seen, it's like, it's a whole strategy with the seeding, mm-hmm. and so we had heard through the grapevine potentially that J-Lo had either tried it somewhere, that she was a fan, and that she was shooting in Miami for her music video, Cumbria El Paso.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, how do we get Poppy on the set? And like, this is what we're thinking, all aspects, whether it's J-Lo or anything, like what event's going on or what this is, yeah. and how do we get Poppy there? And it's pretty common to try to get product on a set or in a sure. movie or in LA or a TV show or the Grammys or something like that. So I heard she was organically a fan and that she was drinking it. And so we got it on set and they reached out and they were like, hey, her team sent us a few pictures. It was like J-Lo is obsessed and they had like big X's on them. And it was like, you know, you can't use these type of things. But like, do you guys want to talk about a conversation with a partnership? And so it really
Whoa. So J-Lo reached out to you basically to say, can I partner with
you? Well, through our efforts of like hustling and getting product on her set. Like it was strategic from like our end. Like really, sure. we got to get this in J-Lo's hand.
I'm just saying that's pretty incredible if J-Lo's like, hey, let's talk about partnerships.
Right. Well, one thing we know about our product is it tastes good. And so we've done a ton of consumer studies and it is something that we know. People know it tastes good. It is something that once you try it, you love it. And so I was okay. like, if we can just get it in her hands. And she, one of her big platforms is also like knowing your talent and like who yeah. you're going after. Like she's really big proponent on like health, wellness.
100%.
She's big on like for her community to not drink as much soda. She leans in for better for you products. Mm-hmm. She had worked with Goalie. So I knew she liked apple cider vinegar. Like I went deep. I went real deep. So I was like, I know she'll love Poppy. And so we got it. And, they sent us a few pictures, and so, like, just a partnership came out of that, and we already had the authentic connection, and it was one of those things where it happened really quick, uh-huh. and then it was just organic, and it happened. She says, we're like, yes, like, you don't say no to J-Lo.
No, you do not. Absolutely.
So
not.
It was definitely, and it turned out to be a great partnership because it wasn't anything, we weren't shooting a crazy commercial. It was like, it was just, she loved it. She took some amazing content and we were yep. like, yes, we love it. So it worked out. Let's
awesome.
Just say that.
That's, I mean, that's it, right? That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. And it happens with Poppy, like more often than not to be like, oh my gosh, we're amazing. But that's something that we really focus on is that like relationship building, making yeah. sure people try it. And that's what the whole world that like influencer marketing, people think it's all about selling product and mm-hmm. pushing this and doing this, but it's really about building relationships and partnerships
right.
and that authentic world. And I know I've said that like 100 times, but that's what's more important than just like
I agree
selling
listen,
on Amazon.
I mean, better you saying it to everyone than me, right? So that's what we practice, what we preach too. It's I think even when I started the Social Standard, which was like 10 years, almost 7 years ago now, everyone like I remember hiring like a senior, like a head of sales, and the recruiter was like, okay, what tech do you have? I was like, we don't have tech. Influencer marketing is a relationship. It's a people business. We are in the business of people. You can support it with tech, but I'm not going to go through and build a whole platform that has the exact same access to the exact right. same 5 metrics. It just doesn't make any sense. And so I'm happy to hear you say that it is. It's an influencer. And now, of course, we have all these partnerships with tech companies to provide a lot of tools to our
right.
clients. But at the end of the day, it's can you get someone to pick up the phone, answer the email, start a conversation with a brand, like how do you do that?
So, well, and those relationships come into play when you're launching a new product and you're doing these things and you have this like army of fans like already around you. And
exactly.
Then you respect the fact of their talent and their platform and like their audience, and you work together, and it really is a partnership. But what a lot of people think, and you, I mean, you know, this is a lot of people look at influencer marketing as a conversion play, but it really is an awareness play.
Yeah.
But there's different levels from the macro influencers to the micro influencers.
Exactly.
Which the lower you go, the higher conversion that you're going to have. I mean, even for J-Lo, you know, she's, I think, the ninth most followed person on Instagram. She, of course, is someone that does awareness and conversion. But it's not always that play. You know, we just did an influencer house in the Hamptons for the month of July. And we had the Sway Boys come out. We had Scott Disick and Amelia and Helen Owen and Sammy Clark and... I think, you know, a couple other groups, and it was a huge awareness play. Like, everyone was talking to us, and so it's not always, it's that long term. Like, don't wait for that spike, and it's okay, and it's
totally,
you know, be patient.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. It is awareness. Now, a lot of influencers convert really well. So what's beautiful about influencer is that it is both. Mm-hmm. But I think especially for you guys, the stage that you're in and with the funding that you have, it's got to be awareness, because you're looking for high growth quickly. And people have to know about you to buy you, right? That's sort of the nature of the beast.
Well, and then leaning into the multiple levels, like don't do all awareness, definitely layer in the conversion people. And then we even do it specific to like target influencers, right? Publix influencers down to retail that maybe aren't forward facing like on our channels as much as say like a Target does it again. I mean, they have 1.2 million followers and they're great for awareness and conversion, but a lot of people don't realize like how many layers influencer marketing is.
It's a lot. I mean, I've built an entire company around it, so.
It's wonderful. I love it. I love it.
Influence, I mean, it changes the game in so many different ways, but you know, we look at, we have huge Fortune 500 companies as clients, and then we have small, you know, app clients as companies too. And we see the awareness play happening very strong at the top. And then even with like a lot of our apps like Fetch Rewards or Hinge, they convert like crazy. I mean, it's wild. So,
yeah.
And it's harder too. You guys are on Amazon, so it's a little harder for you to know this Instagram story does
Amazon
this exactly.
Amazon makes it tough because they even have the affiliate links on Amazon, but I think in grocery it's like a 4%. Conversion, and it's like you're not going to sell 100 sweaters like you would with getting, I think, like in clothing it might be an 8% affiliate link that they get. But I think for us, we do see great conversion probably on Amazon versus retail, because you can track it through swipe up links and stuff like that, but they don't make it easy, Amazon. They sure don't.
No, they definitely don't. But I think they're coming around. For our conversation earlier, I think they're going to figure that out, because, I mean, at a certain point, you're going to say, hey, you guys are doing really well, but I need more. You know, I think the brands are going to start to have a lot more pull with Amazon than Amazon has with the brands, right? I think you see that now. And maybe you've seen this, but one of my theories is, especially with the DTC brands that are everywhere now, is that influencers and social media will be a big factor in if you get placed in grocery stores or not, like Poppy's presence on social media or Poppy's awareness on social media. You can track how many people are posting about it. Then if I'm a buyer for Whole Foods, for Publix, for anywhere, I'm going to look at that stuff and see how many people are talking about this already. Like, can I actually sell this through?
I have the funniest story about that to prove your point. We were on a call with the military buyer. So like to get into military bases, because they buy healthy, better for you products. You know, they have their own co-ops and grocery stores on all the military bases. It's a great account.
Yep.
It's not something you do a ton of advertising, but it's a great account to support. Mm-hmm. And so we're on with the buyer, and he was like asking us, and we were selling, and he's like, who's your consumers going in? And me thinking like, oh, military, it's probably, you know, people shopping with, I was like, oh, the moms love Poppy, which they do. And all of a sudden he's like, oh, I want to hear about that social media stuff. And I was like, oh, well, we do really well on social media. And I started going into our TikTok and our success stories and all this. And he's like, all right, you sold me on the social. And it was like, he had been looking for a company, and he was this old general, like, because everyone that are buyers, they're in the military. And he was looking for someone that was digitally forward, that was social, good on TikTok. And he's like, okay. And we were looking for like an off-shelf, like I think holiday program. And he ended up like cutting us in like nationwide because he wanted that. And it was something that he had looked at versus some of the other people coming on that quite didn't have the experience that we did. And it surprised me because he was like the stiffer, like military guy. And I was like, okay. So you know what's up too.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, at this stage in the game, I feel like everyone's got to have They at least know what TikTok is, right? I mean, you can't pick up any publication and skip an article on TikTok. It's just there. Everybody knows what it is. Whether or not they're on it is a totally different thing, right? But
I'll still be on a call with like a Costco buyer of a certain region, and they're like, "What's influencer marketing? I've never heard of it." So I know. So you never know. You never know.
That's surprising. But I guess Costco is like private membership. The way that they do things is just so.
Yeah, but it's Costco so and influencer marketing is like how you'll win the business there. Honestly, like I've seen it time and time and again with different companies. And it's like we're looking to do a big program with Costco next year. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we're already planning to like go big with influencers. Yeah. So, but you and me, we're believers. We should make everyone else.
Yeah. Or not, you know, I mean, maybe you probably don't want to make any of your competitors believers.
That's
right?
True.
You're like, see ya, we got this. Don't worry about it. Influencer marketing.
No influencers for Costco. Yeah, exactly. That's true. I'm saying too much. No.
I think that's right. Well, you know, I know you guys have done a ton of partnerships. Like it's even Addison Rae, I think you guys have sent stuff or
I mean, and that was an organic post, but like I said, people just seed, they'll post.
So it's really interesting because what we talk to a lot of our clients about is like, I agree with you, seed product out, that's never going to hurt anything. You have a very cool product.
Right.
It's very hot, popular. But I think for a lot of people, it's like if you're sending your brand new mascara or, you know, a parachute or whatever it is, it becomes a little bit more challenging. And so if you really, it's like if you must have people posting, then we always say, look, just set something up. Let's send the product. Let's talk about it. Then let's get them engaged and you know, pay for something. Because if you pay an influencer to do something, you can guarantee you can hold certain guidelines.
100%.
You can make, and so you have a much different process.
Control.
I think. Yeah. And you know, there are some brand safety things too, you know, where you have to look out on. You guys are in this sort of perfect storm, if you will, of being able to do a lot of that. And I think, you know, it does make sense, which is really, really great.
I agree with you. It is a lot easier to seed Poppy than it is a lot of other products. And it's not another beauty product that they have five other boxes that they're about
to
open.
Exactly. Yeah,
so
totally.
It does go that way. And then you'll have people that are obsessed with the product and you'll send 100 packages to, and they'll DM you private pictures 100 times, but they'll never post and never share. So it works out both ways.
Well, because they want you to pay them, right?
Exactly. Just want free product. Like the best is Lindsay Lohan loves Poppy and she's always like, can you send it to Dubai? And we're like, no. We can't ship it international to Dubai. Like, I love you, girl. But it's just like, she just wants to drink it and you can't get it in Dubai. So you never know.
Well, that's maybe perhaps your next market to open in.
I know, someday.
You got to do
it. We'll hit Asia first, like where, like maybe Japan or China.
Yeah.
And then make our way over into Dubai. I like that.
It seems like a good strategy. I think it's smart. Very cool. Well, I want to ask you one more question and then we can wrap, but
sure.
Give us one influencer who has impacted your life in any way, shape, or form you can think of, but just give us one that you really like.
So personally, that's actually a harder question because prior to Poppy, I didn't know about this world.
Sure.
And now I'm so focused on just growing the company and looking at it like holistically. Like I love looking at this person, this vertical, and this person influencer, this influencer, this one's fitness, this one's health. And I'm obsessed with the news and all of those things. So for me, I knew this question was coming and I didn't know how to answer it because it's like, out of all honesty, I love the world of influencer marketing. But for me personally, I am more on the boring side. Like, I read the news every morning and, like, you know, I get on more on Pinterest.
Sure.
And then, like, my hero in my life is just, like, my dad. He was an influencer of me as being an entrepreneur. He was an entrepreneur. Yeah. My sister was an entrepreneur. And so, like, I've just grown up in a family of entrepreneurs. But I would say maybe one of the first influencers that I worked with, like, here at Poppy, that always left, like, this amazing, like, got on the phone with us was Yummer Time. I don't know if you know Yummer Time.
Yeah, Yummer Time. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Like, I love them. They were the sweetest, and their content was insane.
They're, it's very, it feels very Poppy. Yeah.
They were, so for me, like, if I have to pick, like, an influencer who, like, we've worked with, like, I loved working with them, and one of my favorite, like, long-term partnerships that we worked with was Alyssa Lynch. Like, her content's insane. She kills it on working with you. She is great with her, like, talking points. You'd be like, oh, this month we're launching this or this. And sometimes it's hard with talent because you'll go through agents and you'll go through, and the message kind of gets lost. And so it's nice sometimes to just, like, work with people to get it. So
totally.
So I don't know. Not a great answer, but.
No, but it's a very solid answer. And I love that you come from a family of entrepreneurs. I do too. And it's just, it really frames your perspective on the world. So I think my favorite answer of yours is your dad. Your dad, the influencer. If only he had an Instagram handle, we could blow him up. So.
He doesn't have Instagram and he doesn't have TikTok and Facebook, and it drives me insane. Because all of a sudden I'm like, look, J-Lo posted. And he's like, I don't see it. And I have to screen record.
Oh, no.
It's so bad, but that's
That's too funny. Well, Allison, this has been such a fun conversation. So thank you so much for coming. I am going to go order 25 boxes of Poppy right now because you have sold me on
it. We'll send you some. No, I love it. For sure. Thank you so much. Yeah, it was wonderful being on and chatting with you. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did. If you're interested in setting the standard in influencer marketing, please check out our website, www.sostandard.com, or give us a follow on Instagram and LinkedIn. Be sure to head over to the Social Standard YouTube channel to check out the video version of this show. If you're enjoying this podcast, please support us by subscribing, sharing, or leaving a review.